impossible odds. The Bible is filled with stories of God's deliverance to people who were in dire straits. It's filled with stories of miracles and restoration and second chances for people, whether they seem to deserve it or not. And the Bible is filled with, like last week, parts of the story that make us uncomfortable as we live in the reality of God's all-encompassing and unconditional love for all. So today's reading recounts the miraculous escape of the Hebrew people when they were trapped between Pharaoh's army and an uncrossable body of water. God sent a strong wind to dry up the body of water overnight. And then after God's people had crossed safely, God brought the waters back, casting Pharaoh's army into the sea. Well, like last week, I am bothered by victory of the Hebrew people at the expense of the Egyptian soldiers. I've also read that in an ancient Jewish midrash about this story, a rabbi writes that in this event, God was weeping because the Egyptians are God's children too. But unlike last week too, we're going to get to have some fun with Hebrew words today. We'll get back to the questions about the ancient Jewish midrash in just a bit. Moses and the Israelites arrived at the sea, and Moses stretched out his hand, and God sent a strong wind to dry up the sea, and the Israelites walked across on dry land. What sea did they cross? Shout it out from home, wherever you're saying it. Did you say the Red Sea? But let's dig a little bit deeper. In today's reading, there's no mention of what sea they crossed. But just a few verses before today's reading, in Exodus 13, 18, we find this. So God led the people by the roundabout way of the wilderness toward the Red Sea. The Israelites went up and out of the land of Egypt, prepared for battle. There it is, the Red Sea. Is that what the Bible says? Well, the English translation that I read says that. But what does the Hebrew say? It says, God led the people toward Yam Suf. Yam Suf doesn't mean Red Sea. Sea of reeds. Yam Suf. Reed Sea, not Red Sea. But wait, Yam Suf could also be Yam Suf, sea or lake. In the end. End of the Red Sea, maybe Yam Suf, the sea, the lake at the end. Yam Suf is translated as Red Sea in other verses in the Bible, almost all of them referring back to this event. One that doesn't is a description of King Solomon's navy in 1 Kings. Look at this one. 1 Kings 9:26. King Solomon built a fleet of ships at Ezion Geber, which is near Eloth on the shore of the Red Sea in the land of Edom. Biblical translation and interpretation. It's not an exact science, I know. Some scholars will agree with me and others will disagree, but here's what I think. The Red Sea, Reed Sea, Sea of Reeds, Yam Suf, Yam Suf is. It's at one of the northern ends of the Red Sea, the northern end of the Gulf of Aqaba, which is in the modern day city of Eilat, right on the border of Israel and Turkey. It's likely that there were reeds in the marshy areas at the end of the Gulf, and that's where the Israelites crossed. But there's also more to the story. In the epic, the drama that comes with the crossing of the Red Sea with Charlton Heston in the lead is, that's awe-inspiring, right? But in the Bible, the crossing seems to take second place to something that amazed the Israelites more. In the verses after today's reading, Exodus chapter 15, the Israelites sing for joy. And this song, called the Song of Moses, and also the Song of Miriam, is thought to be one of the oldest written parts of the Bible. Here's what the people celebrated. Exodus 15, 1. I will sing to the Lord, for he has triumphed gloriously. Horse and rider he has thrown into the sea. After several verses of the song, there's a mention of the crossing. At the blast of your nostrils, the waters piled up and the flood stood in a heap. The deeps congealed in the heart of the sea. But most of the song celebrates God's victory and the defeat of Pharaoh. So that explains more of what likely happened. And it leaves us right back in that uncomfortable place, the celebration of the death of the Egyptians. God was weeping because the Egyptians are God's children too. I don't think that praising the death of an enemy is a proper response to liberation and God's deliverance from an impossible situation. What kinds of impossible situations do you see in the world today? What kinds of impossible situations do you see in your life today? What would liberation from those situations be like? What kinds of impossible situations do you see in your life today? There are so many in our time. Coronavirus, COVID-19, natural disasters, wildfires all up and down the Pacific, Northwest Pacific coast. Racism. Sexism. The inability to find any common ground. Ongoing violence and war. What does a war ever hope to accomplish? Is it the death of all the people on the wrong side? Or is it the end of needless death, violence, and destruction? Is war trying to accomplish victory and a song of praise at the death of an enemy? Or is it trying to accomplish a world reconciled, one to the other? It doesn't seem that you can find reconciliation after all that violence. God is love for all. And we have a job. As God's people and as humans in community with one another, our job is to turn away from any evil, turn toward good. I hope that from death and destruction, from hate and indifference, from greed and the lust for power, from hopelessness and anguish, that God's deliverance, restoration, and redemption are close at hand. Today, last week, a dozen years ago, 10 years in the future, the odds may seem impossible. We are always looking past what is possible toward what is impossible. Amen.